In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. One of the longest readings that we have in the Gospels that today, so thank you for bearing with us. Just mindful today of Sue Nichols' birthday from Starlink, and she can't be here today due to her sickness. So, Keith, do give her our best wishes and our love, and that we continue to pray for Sue. I am the resurrection and the life, said Jesus. I want to ask you, what are you going to do with Jesus? Many of us are cultural Christians. We come to church out of reflex and routine. And that's no bad thing. There are many good things that we can do out of reflex and routine, like washing, brushing our teeth, hopefully, and looking after ourselves. But at the heart of Christianity isn't a message of reflex and routine, something that is just cultural. It's an invitation to a person. It's an invitation to a relationship with a person. And so, what are you going to do with Jesus? He who said, I am the good shepherd. He who said, I am the light of the world. He who said, I am the bread of life. I am the gate. He who said, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, if you were going to ask me if there is one verse in Scripture that points to the fact that Jesus is God, it's here in this reference that we get today. Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. He is saying, I am the whole of life now. I give rise to it. And I am your future life. I am your present life and I am your future life. I am the resurrection and the life. So if you've ever doubted that Jesus ever claimed to be God, here is the reference for you, if you understand its implications. Jesus just wasn't a good teacher or a moral philosopher or a miracle worker. He was God himself. I am the resurrection and the life. So the invitation to you today is, what are you going to do with Jesus? Many of us here today are deeply disappointed in the life maybe that we've received and the things that have come our way and maybe the things that we face right now, like Martha and Mary's disappointment. But he was going to invite them into a much bigger, greater, more wonderful story. And he could give them hope even in the darkest place because he was the resurrection and the life. What are the tombs today that we face for our own selves? The tombs of buried relationships, the loss, those people that we love that we see no longer, and we've never really moved on from that tomb because somehow our heart was died there. It died there. And the invitation to you today is once again is to break forth from the tomb of a buried relationship and discover that he is the resurrection and the life. Or the tomb of the hidden regrets. Those things perhaps which we did in our life and again we've never really moved on from them. And they've become sealed and they stench now. And we no longer can speak words of life to them because these things we've become entombed by. Or perhaps just numb faith. A numb faith that I come to church, but it really doesn't mean anything, really. The things that have come my way have just numbed me to life, and my life is just sealed up now. And I'm no longer being able to sort of say to the tomb that I encompass, come out. because I too am entombed. The need for us to come out of our fear. If you're occupied today with the fears that occupy the news, let me invite you to go back to this story today and say, oh, come out. There is another freedom because Jesus is the resurrection and the life. He offers us a wonderful future. Or come out of our bitterness or just our comfort. The life that we live, we're just very well disposed in this life that ticks by, but we've never really come alive to a living faith, which is about a relationship with God, knowing him personally, that governs our daily life and enlivens us. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. The liberation from disappointment, from fear, from loss, from separation, this is the invitation. I was talking to an Uber driver some weeks back. He drove me to Cricklewood. I got into the car, I knew nothing of him. Just got into a conversation. It turns out he was from Brazil. He said to me not long ago, I'd come from Brazil. He had many addictions, and his life had got into an incredible mess. He was desperate. So desperate, in fact, that he ended up in A&E at St. Mary's Paddington, and then was admitted to hospital and ended up in ITU, and he was at death's door. He was a young man. And then he heard this voice in his desperation. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. And in ITU and in that dark place, suddenly he came alive to the presence of the living Christ. And remarkably, he made a recovery. And the first thing he did when he left the hospital was he looked for a church that spoke Portuguese in Paddington, and he found it there. He became a Christian, and his life was turned around. You see, the invitation that he encountered was real. He met with Jesus, who proclaimed that he is the resurrection and the life. And suddenly, from this darkest place on a life support machine, he suddenly found life again because he'd met the risen Lord. So the question for you today, you might have been coming to church for a very, very long time. You might know everything about what goes on here and its routines, but the invitation here today is, do you know him? Have you encountered the real life within you? Is your faith really just a cultural faith, but it has really no substance? You just do it out of a routine. The invitation to Martha and to Mary, it was to really discover who Christ was. I am the resurrection and the life. I am God himself. I give rise to your existence now, and I give rise to the existence that exists for the whole of your future, the resurrection of the life. That's what Jesus was saying. We mentioned last week about one of the great attributes of being a Christian is to learn to mourn and to learn to weep. So maybe for all of us today, as we weep for the state of the world, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be covered. As we weep together for the state of the world, and maybe things that you've encountered recently, listen to the invitation of Jesus. He wants to welcome you. He wants to call you and say, come out of the tombs that you are own and you encounter now, and meet with him in a real life-giving encounter. That's why wonderfully we sang that song just before we read the gospel. Will you come and see? Will you come and see? Will you encounter him? Amen.
Let us pray for the church and the world, and let us thank God for his goodness. Lord Jesus, at this time of Lent, we give you thanks for the example of your 40 days alone in the wilderness, tempted and challenged, yet finally strengthened for your mission to the world. Lord, we confess that we are so easily distracted in the wilderness of our own lives by every call to go this way or that, to turn stones into bread, to leap from mountains, and to do so much that keeps us from following you. Lord, help us to use this season of Lent to refocus our lives on you. Give us the strength to free ourselves from the appetites and desires that lead us away from your plan for each one of us. We pray for our Lent groups, that in their exploration of Mark's gospel, they will grow in faith, understanding, and commitment. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, if you had been here, said Martha, my brother would not have died. Lord, make us aware of your presence and of your call to live as you direct us as we pray to you. We pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to be our guide, rescuing us from the valley of dry bones that Ezekiel witnessed. Breathe your spirit into us. Give us muscles and sinews and joy to praise you. May our whole lives be filled with your spirit as we look towards the promise of Easter in a few weeks' time. May we truly believe that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord Jesus, you gave comfort to the grieving sisters, Martha and Mary. We pray that you will comfort all those who are in despair through illness, bereavement, unemployment, abuse, loneliness. Pour out your spirit upon them that they will find faith and comfort in the one who called Lazarus back to new life. We pray especially today for those mentioned in Starlink in need of your healing touch. Restore each of them so that they are with you and that they know that you are with them in their anxiety and pain, touching each one of them with your healing grace. We pray for all the young people affected by the outbreak of meningitis in Kent, especially for the families whose children have died from the infection. Thank you, Lord, for the life and witness of Chris Brooks and Stuart Siddon, whose anniversaries fall at this time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord, sometimes we feel surrounded, almost overwhelmed by a world of dry bones, a world of death and despair, where we lose hope in our political and economic systems. Father God, place your hand of wisdom, compassion, honesty, good judgment on all those leaders who have some influence in the world. We pray for an end to the wars in Iran and Ukraine. We pray for the people of Gaza and the West Bank, for a lasting and fair settlement between Jews and Palestinians. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Come out, Jesus commands and calls us from the tombs of our existence into the brightness of a new day. Come out, Jesus cries, and unbinds us from the chains of our sin. Come out, Jesus cries, and entices us into a world filled with grace and possibility. So, may we go out into a world that needs our life, our love, our care. May we go out into a world that needs the Spirit of God carried on our lips and in our actions to serve the community of Roxbourne and beyond. May we go out into the world to live as God's resurrected people. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.